here's an actual Redbot I have with me. Here's the nice box. You wouldn't believe how much effort we put into making those boxes. Right, so I was invited to talk about smart radiator valves. And as being rightly pointed out, I started a project called OpenTRV, and that has now a commercial bit, which is trying to drive the whole thing, called Vestemi, and our product is Radbot. And this thing is technically Radbot 2R, so it's Radbot 2 with a radio in it. I'm Damon Hart Davis. Right, here we go. So, tell them what you're going to tell them. What problem is Radbot trying to solve? What's our solution? A little bit of history. Where are we now? And there's a bit of alphabet soup there. How does it work? Don't worry, I won't wait right until then to tell you, but I'll try and make sure I'm in a position to answer a question. And some secrets for devs and the more techie of you in here who'd like to tinker. Okay. So what is the problem? The problem that we're trying to fix is climate change. It's actually written into the articles and memoranda of Vestemi that its job is to help ameliorate climate change. And we're doing that through space heating. So you're probably all aware of these facts, but to reiterate, carbon emissions contribute to climate change. In the UK, over 10%. I mean, I used to think it was 20%, and I saw government ministers quoting the number back at me, but I think it's about 10% of all carbon emissions are from domestic space heating. So not water, you know, in the home, not offices, not cooking, domestic space heating. And the scary thing is that maybe half of that is unnecessary. So there's about 5% of the UK's entire carbon emissions that we could just do without and be no colder. And one huge source of that waste is heating empty rooms, e.g. your bedrooms during the day. You sit downstairs in the lounge or whatever, and you only need them warm when you go to bed, not for the whole of the day preceding. And, you know, another problem we're trying to fix is that people do come out with technical solutions, but absurdly technical, that need Wi-Fi and broadband and Bluetooth and I don't know. One of the systems I tried out, a programmable radiator valve, I found too bloody complicated to use, and I have a master's degree in theoretical computer science and quite a lot of patience. So, you know, that was one of the things which convinced me there needed to be a simpler solution. And yes, this not everyone has reliable always on internet, and it's not always good to use it even if you've got it. So one of the early things in OpenTRV's existence was winning a prize at a thing run by British Gas, which preceded Hive, their connected homes thing. And it was noted that all the winners weren't actually connected. So we're kind of IoT without the eye. But we can do the eye, and I'll show you some of that later. So what's the solution? So Radbot attempts to make it all easy, solve all your problems without having to lift a finger, by soft zoning. So a number of you have mentioned that you have multiple zones in your house. So it's not as it used to be sort of when the Ark was being launched, that it's either all gets hot or it doesn't all get hot, or even worse, you have to balance it because some bits overheat and some bits never get warm enough. Treat every occupied space as its own zone for heating control, and do it without having actual pipes and valves to do it, but do it with soft zoning. And that's what Radbot does. Now, some of you have been coalescing multiple radiators in a single room to make a zone. Each Radbot acts by itself. So each radiator really is the zone. But not vast quantity of rooms actually have two radiators. And anyway, Radbot's quite happy to control those two radiators separately. So what's it all about? How do you save energy? Well, set back the temperature when the room is vacant and likely to be for a while. Set it back further when you're even more sure, like in the middle of the night. And on the other hand, start preheating the room when you're predicting occupancy, so hopefully you never walk into a cold room. But do not require anyone to do any programming or connectivity or pay attention, blah, 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 blah. It's pretty evident that if you require people to program things like stats, people don't know how to do it, don't do it very well, patterns change and they forget how to do the programming. It's a nuisance to program and it doesn't work very well. And there's reasonable evidence anyway that autonomous measures which don't go on requiring your attention persist much better, maybe up to the life of the device rather than maybe 1 to 4 years otherwise. So Radbot's magic is, I do love it when people ask me in a pitch or something and say, so how does it work? And I say, magic, with a completely straight face. Mainly light. There are other things going on as well, but stuff like when you flick on a light or draw your curtains, Radbot knows you're there. When it's pitch black and always is at that time, it can be pretty sure you're either not there or asleep and don't need the heat cranked up. But it also detects your use of controls, and there's other things in development right at this moment. And then that setback size, well, we risk weight it. The more sure we are you're not in the room, the further we allow the temperature to set back. And in the middle of the night, when we're pretty sure that you don't need the heat, we set it back as much as 6 degrees, which in principle would be a 60% energy saving to a rule of thumb. One degree setback for its duration is about 10% of the heat requirement for that duration. Brief history. Oh, go back to 2009 or something. David McKay was writing Sustainable Energy Without the Hot Air. And we were talking about all sorts of things from solar panels onwards. And that's a tiny credit to me somewhere in the depths of the book. When he got to DEC, he claimed he wrote himself the chief scientist role at DEC by writing that book. And we continued chatting about what was likely to be the best carbon bang for the buck. What should we do? I was very keen to do something. And we decided probably domestic space heating was really ripe for improvement. People do it really badly. You know, less than half the systems in England, for example, would meet building regs, current building regs. They would fail, you know, they wouldn't be allowed to be built. And those are pretty poor regs. He invited me to organise a meeting, well, invited me to lead a meeting at the end of 2012 about home heating, including zoning. The great and the good were there, academics and people from BRE and so on. We all agreed that zoning was good and probably some other things as well. So, and some chap from one of the big companies said, oh, and I'll send you all our kit, which does it. Well, nothing happened and the government didn't do anything. I kind of sent a snippy email in January saying, well, what have you done? It's been months. You haven't done anything. And they said, we're government. We don't do anything in a hurry. So in 2013, I started the TRV Open Source Project, which is still there, and we'll talk about it in a minute. And in about 2014, created the company, and about 2018, got some really good investors on board, and we changed the name of the company to one that wouldn't frighten utilities, and thus Vestemi. And we're commercialising it because it's no good being a boutique tinkerer. There's more than a billion rads which would benefit from Radbot, and we're not going to get there by, you know, tinkering. We need some real commercial oomph there. We've done testing. So Energy House, I don't know if any of you saw Energy House 2 was launched today, which is rather good, where they've got Energy House 1, they've got a whole Victorian end of terrace inside a lab. So we tested in there, saw about 25% energy savings. And we've just completed 2 years of trials with Bayes and Ofgem money in real houses, more than 100 real houses. And we've done other testing, qualitative testing, and yes, it works. We're pretty sure it actually works. It's not a figment of my imagination as the inventor. We're still arguing about how much it works, because it's really difficult to measure. But we've got good numbers, and our target is up to 30%. So what are we doing now? Sales, sales, sales. Every Radbot can save as much as a tenth of a tonne of carbon per year from its rad. And we need to get costs down, and we need to go on improving algorithms. And there's quite good, I've got a missing bracket there, quite good fun with data science, teasing out the patterns and then implementing quite sophisticated algorithms in, a few hundred bytes of code on an AVR. So that's what it looks like. You don't have to keep your finger on the Radbot. You are allowed to walk away. But that's the boost button on top. If you see when I press it, it glows nice and red. Otherwise, it's just like a normal TRV. You set the temperature you want on the dial. And Radbot, when you're in the room, will do its damnedest to make sure that is the temperature. Clearly, it can't work miracles if your boiler isn't on or something. But it will do its damnedest. Radbot will also, with a boiler controller, but it's not the way we're selling it, any Radbot can call for heat, and so if you do that boost, it will turn the boiler on for you. So, some alphabets, alpha, Alphabet Spaghetti, SAP GHD Eco 3 Alphabet Soup. So where would we be without TLAs and ETLAs? And for those who don't know, three-letter acronyms and extended three-letter acronyms. So we've had some pretty industry awards, like the one down in bottom right, which I seem to have only got a monochrome version of. It was shiny, the original one. But the important thing was that at the very end of September, we went into the SAP table. SAP is the standard assessment procedure, which, for example, drives your energy performance certificate for your house. And you need to get on that to go into all sorts of programs. And, for example, now people can pay for Redbox under the Green Homes Grant as a secondary measure. And the thing that we're currently pending is all our stuff is sitting with Ofgem to go and tot up on their fingers and toes and see if they will accredit us for the Eco 3 programme. So how does it work? Well, I told you magic already, but maybe you won't believe me. It's just like a mechanical TRV for the normal human beings we want to use it. If we're going to get anything like a billion of them in, it can't be too fancy. So it's just like a mechanical TRV, and like a more normal mechanical TRV, one of its jobs is to stop overheating. And it quite took me by surprise, but one of our case studies, someone was in quite a new house, only 6 years old, which I assumed Radbot wouldn't be able to do much for, but they said that downstairs was always too hot, whatever they set their TRVs to, and upstairs was so cold that they had to run an electric heater. Well, they put Radbots in, and it stopped both problems, because it's presumably the one downstairs was close to their boiler, and Radbot's really quite forceful about turning the rad off when it wants to be. And it let more heat go upstairs where they wanted it. So fab, so it can stop overheating as well as the other. It's got the boost button. Big problem that used to annoy me as I'm still school resources governor is come to pick my kids up on a cold winter's evening and see all the windows open because they're being a bit cold in the morning, turned everything up to max, forgotten, massively overheated and have to turn everything off, open all the windows. So you press the boost button, it basically raises the temperature threshold for 10 degrees for half an hour and then goes back to where it was before, so you don't need to remember. Radbot is driven by occupancy and vacancy detection, including some optimum on, optimum off, a mixture of live detection and prediction. So it's got a kind of rolling 7-day memory of various things like occupancy level, temperature, and so on. It's got multiple sensors, light, temperature, which it needs to regulate the room temperature, obviously, humidity, so we do some things to reduce condensation risk, and use of controls. Outputs, it's got motor valve controls, there's a little motor which drives the pin up and down, and some haptics. I can do the equivalent of your phone vibrating to tell you something's going on. There's an LED at the top, and there's a radio. We are probably going to do a cheap one to get costs down with no radio fitted, but nonetheless, it is happy to send properly encrypted stats frames in JSON across the radio, which will get across a typical house. Cheap radio. And there's some patent pending cleverness too. We are galloping towards an expedited patent of our first patent, which means it'll land in a year, we hope, and four other ones as well. So I'd have to kill you all if I told you about some of the stuff that's pending. But lots of it is to do with making lots and lots of value out of the cheap sensors in here. These are not fabulously expensive, highly calibrated sensors, but we can do a lot with them. And so, for example, when we use lighting to detect occupants, we're doing all sorts of things. We're doing edge detection, we're looking how much it wobbles, we're looking at level detection, we look at what typical things are by hour of day, and so on. Anyway, on savings in Energy House, which is this Victorian end of terrace inside a lab, we were seeing, for example, 60% savings of energy in the bedrooms, 25% for the whole house. We think realistic is 30% for houses for which it's suited. So if you're in a tiny, one-bedroom studio or a studio flat, which is modern and well-insulated, Redbot isn't going to help you much. No, it wouldn't in a passive house either, because zoning won't have much effect. But if you're in a big, old, drafty house which loses heat like the clappers, yes, Redbot is your friend. Okay, some secrets for you. Now, you can tell me again if I can show you this again after we come off. I'm hoping you can see. I've just taken the lid off a Radbot, and you won't be able to see it, but inside the cap is a row of pads there, which includes power and serial. So if you look at the OpenTRV documentation, you'll see that there's a documented 4800 board 8N1 serial interface with a CLI on it, which means you can do things like set the key and the ID and do other some other bits and pieces. And any stats, provided you've got the key, know the IDs, the existing OpenTRV stats hub and boiler controller receive stats. And there is a little graph, courtesy of New Plot, of occupancy from all the sensors, all the radiator valves in my house, a bit of last month. And if you look carefully, you can probably see the difference. I think that's a weekend, the first one. The kids in and the kids not in, and different patterns of usage during the day. Of course, under lockdown, a bit more occupancy than would otherwise be the case. So, a summary. It's been an overnight success that took 8 years. We're receiving accreditations. We've won some awards. We've got thousands of devices still in stock. We're hoping to make, tens of thousands, if not 100,000 next year. We're ready for the Green Homes Grant and Eco3 is the energy company obligation, third round of the program, where the government pays to improve the energy performance of the homes of people who are fuel poor or vulnerable. About a quarter of the population is eligible for that. Our aim is to save megatons of CO2 affordably and simply. We also aim to reduce fuel poverty, to put off that horrible eating versus heating dilemma for some people. And we want to go on supporting tinkering in a way that doesn't terrify our investors. So there are some links for you. The product has its own page, radbot.com. There was a Count Radbot, if you go and search for Radbot in Wikipedia. Vestemi is the company. And if you want to go and look at the OpenTRV reference code, which still exists, the open source stuff, that's in GitHub. And there's also a wiki on there. And if you want to drop me an email, there's my email address.